This work is a natural outgrowth of our successful campaign to reclaim democratic governance of our professional college. First, the Liberals provoked this completely unnecessary dispute over the college. They created needless instability and damaged relationships in schools. Then tens and thousands of teachers put our jobs on the line by withholding fees from Christie's College. Through our unity and determination, we were able to compel the government to reverse its position and restore a majority of elected councillors. It was a great victory for the teaching profession that it was accomplished by all of us acting together. This is not to say that everything is wonderful on the college file. We still have significant issues, but together we are working on them. A key issue in the ongoing effort to portray teachers as the unethical group requiring constant vigilance and surveillance, and even an attempt to portray us as defenders of predators in schools. You've all been reading the Vancouver Sun since January. Let me say once again, very clearly, no one in the BCTF would ever condone or shield a predator in our schools. A teacher's role is to teach, to protect, and to celebrate students. Any teacher who hurts a child betrays the trust society vests in us and is in violation of our own code of ethics. Teachers want children to be safe at school, at home, at church, on the streets and playgrounds of our communities. We want our children to be safe everywhere. Child abuse is a grave societal problem, and we want to help work on the solutions. We have called for a commission on child protection to investigate and report on actions necessary to ensure children are protected from physical harm or sexual abuse. A broad review is necessary for two reasons. The evident lack of enforcement by school boards of existing safeguards and reporting procedures, and Liberal legislation that has reduced protection for our children. It is time we revisited this and addressed our students' safety. Certainly, the concern expressed last week by three former provincial child advocates reinforced our worry that the necessary safeguards are not in place to ensure children's welfare is protected. And this is not the only instance where those working on the front lines with kids have criticized the Liberals' policy and legislation. There is the so-called training wage, which inspired the famous slogan, "6 bucks sucks." There is the appalling new child labor law. Taken together, these changes institutionalize ways in which employers could take advantage of children and youth, and that is not acceptable. Another characteristic of the Liberal record is a disturbing disregard for the rule of law. We see no respect for fair process, bargaining rights, or for collective agreements. We've seen the Liberals impose essential service laws, legislate away our rights with a stroke of a pen, vaporize duly negotiated local agreements, and strip our collective agreements. despite the censure of the International Labour Organization. Next week is the third anniversary of the ILO's ruling against six liberal laws that violate international standards, and we will be calling the government to account for that too. The latest example, and we all know this one, came last spring when the Liberals imposed provisions that had already been quashed by the court. Their Bill 19 reflected utter disregard for the earlier decision of the Supreme Court. So, we're teachers. We're teachers. We keep challenging their legislation. And we keep winning in court. But we have a government that when we win in court, they rewrite the legislation and pass new laws. No matter what the courts say, this is a government that has no respect for rule of law. It's interesting, though, that despite the Liberals' ability to ignore all the rulings, the courts have not been prevented from making clear rulings. In a unanimous decision last month, the BC Court of Appeals ruled that even though the government took away our right to negotiate class size, we can challenge violations to the legislated class size limits. In other words, we can grieve them. The court goes on to say it does not make that subject any less a term or condition that affects the employment relationship. In other words, an arbitrator can enforce the class size provisions that are in the School Act, which is really great for K-3, but we know how averages work for 4-12. And I don't have to tell you what your class size and class composition looks like right now. Every one of you has stories. But this is yet another example of how the courts are consistently telling this government that it cannot continue to thwart the spirit of the law and impose its own agenda at will. In reaction, hold on to your seats. The Premier told the Vancouver Sun, "What I always try to do is follow what I understand the rules to be." Isn't that rich? Last April, we also had the hospital workers' strike, and teachers demonstrated active support for the HEU. We know how it feels to have your collective agreements ripped up, and so we were disgusted to see the Liberals once again abusing their power to impose an unjust settlement in a contract dispute. The recent dispute with the Crown prosecutors is another example. The Liberals have overruled two arbitration decisions that said prosecutors are underpaid and their salaries should increase by 13%. Again, we know how the Crown prosecutors are feeling. Every time workers get their due, the workers lose because the government changes the rules. We worry. We worry about this pattern of flagrant disregard for bargaining rights and a vindictive response to workers' legitimate demands. Frankly, it appears as though this government is trying to take us back to a time when public sector workers were in a state of servitude, not dignified employment, and we will not stand for that. You know, for teachers, as for other sectors, bargaining continues to pose a huge challenge. but we are meeting it at the table, in the courts, and in the political arena. Our bargaining team is highly experienced and hardworking. We are committed to the restoration of our students' learning conditions and our bargaining rights, even though they are not at the table. We are committed to achieving a fair and reasonable salary increase for our members, but all this will take tremendous unity and collective action. The Government Commissioned Report on Teacher Bargaining finally came out last December. In keeping with the Liberals' agenda, the report simply calls for further limitations on teachers' rights and scope of bargaining. It does nothing to redress the serious erosion of services to students. Whatever the government decides to do with the recommendations, teachers will continue to advocate for students and to defend our rights. We will have the chance for a full discussion of the bargaining strategy on Monday. We know that bargaining must happen in concert with our legal challenges and our political action. All three strands are intertwined in our long-range plan. As you know, our political strategy has been in the news quite a bit lately, and the issue of political advertising, theirs and ours, has been a bit hot too. Looking back over the school year, we saw it begin with a renewed advertising campaign by the government. Throughout the fall and winter, the government spent millions advertising their message, touting BC as the best place to live, to work, to go to school, and to invest. The government was in denial. Our ad agency estimates they spent at least $4 to $5 million, those are taxpayers' dollars, on that government campaign. Of course, we did advertising of our own. How many of you were watching the Oscar night? Those who weren't, you saw the ad the next day, right? Our satirical Oscar to Gordon Campbell for the most devastating performance in a leading role earned us kudos from ordinary British Columbians and, not surprisingly, brickbats from the Liberals. There's no doubt it was a hard-hitting ad, but I totally reject the idea promoted in the media that it is an American-style attack ad. Even Michael Smith, the province and the CKNW, hardly friends of the BCTF, pointed out that the ad poked fun at Gordon Campbell for his record, but did not attack him as a person. While many journalists privately told us they thought the ads were clever or brilliant or hilarious, the education minister denounced us for exploiting children even before he had seen our second ad. It's bitterly ironic that a government that has done so much damage should accuse us of exploiting kids by advocating for them. They gave a tax cut. They gave a tax cut to the wealthy and cut hundreds of millions of dollars from education and services to children and families. They weakened requirements for reporting children. Sorry, for reporting child abuse. They brought in the worst child labor laws in the developed world, and they accuse us of exploitation. All this is rather hard to take from an education minister who never misses the chance to stage a photo op for the TV cameras in schools. The premier himself also likes to appear in front of captive audiences of primary students in a school library, reading stories, and handing Spirit of 2010 flags, no less, and taking up valuable education time. You know, as far as the media pundits would say it, our ads worked. Our ads worked. Obviously, our ads work, and the work you've done in your communities has been a winning combination. The ads on their own would not have been that powerful if you had not done an incredible job in community after community, in school after school, raising issues about how learning has been damaged by Liberal policies. And you know, our message is getting through. Do you know how we know that? They're going after us relentlessly. How many ministers of education would be phoning in to a radio show because Ginny Sims is on the Michael Smith show? Phoning in. But we're always glad they're listening, because our message is the same. Fund public education and give us back our rights. Now, you know that the Liberals know that they're vulnerable on education, because you can only go on the TV and keep telling people everything is really good if you don't have this other niggling voice there too, saying things are not that great. And it's because our ads are working that they will keep going after us relentlessly. This is only the beginning. We're going to see attacks on us over the next little while, and we have to prepare ourselves for them. Mr. Campbell is rattled. And what does a person do when they're rattled? They lash out. And that's what he's doing right now. He has good reason to be nervous. And when I look at every one of you in this room, I multiply that by hundreds. And I think he needs to be nervous. There are 10 teachers in the running for the NDP and 3 for the Greens. All will be out there raising education issues and holding his government's feet to the fire, along with 42,000 teachers. Now, we know Mr. Campbell is rattled, and I think I just read that to you. You know, I tend to ad lib, and sometimes I wonder why I have a written speech, because I do kind of digress a little bit. In the end, we have to remember that no matter who forms government after May the 17th, no matter who forms the government, we will still have the same issues confronting us. And we will still be advocating for our students and their needs on holding the government's feet to the fire. Meanwhile, despite all the cuts and the constant attacks from Victoria, teaching and learning goes on. Despite the many demands at school and home, teachers all over BC are making heroic efforts to maintain professional standards and excellence in education. As I visit schools and talk to teachers in their classrooms and in their locals, I never cease to be amazed at the awesome job that they do every single day. Thank you, colleagues, for all that you do. Thank you for taking the time out of your spring break to be here to take part in our democratic decision-making bodies. And thank you for your commitment to our profession, our union, and ultimately to our students. I salute you.